Jeff Nicholson is an English writer who writes about people with unusual obsessions. Still Life with Volkswagens was about VW collectors. Hunters and Gatherers is about eccentrics who collect all sorts of unusual and pointless things. Nicholson's new novel, Footsucker, is the confessions of a foot fetishist, an otherwise ordinary man whose passionate longings center around his search for the perfect erotic foot. In satirizing one man's obsessions, Nicholson also satirizes the sexual preoccupations of the larger culture. Here's a short reading.
I realize, of course, that laying down laws for female beauty is an absurd and dangerous occupation. And if I sound dogmatic and impossibly demanding, all I can say is sorry, but that's how it is with fetishes. Of course, feet that do not conform to my ideal have every right to exist, have every right to be admired. Indeed, I myself have admired and been intimate with feet that were a long way from perfect. Nevertheless, a man knows what he wants. And in one sense, I am being descriptive rather than prescriptive. For, as I describe my idea of the perfect foot, I find that I am very precisely describing Catherine's. But the perfect foot is not bare. It is shod. The shoe delivers a vital aesthetic transformation. It customizes a part of the body. Whereas the perfect foot allows only one possibility, there are an infinite number of shoes that may be admired and enjoyed. And finding the right shoe is the comparatively easy part. Shoes can be bought. They can be specially made, whereas the perfect foot is a natural phenomenon like the Grand Canyon or the Victoria Falls. Of course, shoes need to be high-heeled. The higher, the better, within reason. I don't personally feel any need to psychoanalyze the high heel, but undoubtedly it makes women stand and walk differently. It raises their buttocks, it makes them wiggle, it makes them look dominant, but at the same time it makes them quite vulnerable. It is hard for them to run away.
Jeff Nicholson, what got you thinking about fetishism and foot fetishism in particular?
I suppose a lifetime's vague interest. I suppose when I began writing this book, I did wonder if I was a foot fetishist, a foot and shoe fetishist. Having spent a year living inside the head of my character, I became fairly convinced that I wasn't. But let's just say that in the sense that there are leg men and breast men, I've always been a bit of a foot man.
Why?
I don't know. How can we determine what we love? Someone said that, didn't they? I mean, that's the way it is with fetishes. Something gets you, and you're not sure why, but it gets you where you live. It hits those mental erogenous zones.
So you've written a very extreme version of something much more mild that you were experiencing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I am, and I think what probably most men are, and this is explained in the book, is I'm a partialist. And I suspect that certainly most men, and I suspect probably most women as well, are partialists. That, you know, you have a certain range of erotic preference, you know, that some people are turned on by tight buttocks and some people are turned on by hairy chests, in the case of men or women. And some men, you know, like big breasts, some men are turned on by small breasts. I think that men are probably better at women at saying they want a specific quality. But I think we all do it to some extent. Now, the difference between the partialist and the fetishist is that the partialist can live with a woman or a man who doesn't submit, who doesn't conform exactly to those needs, whereas a fetishist wouldn't be remotely interested in you if you had anything other than those tight buttocks, the hairy chest, or in the case of the feet and the shoes, a foot fetishist wouldn't care what the rest of the woman looked like. He would only be sexually interested in her feet. And in extreme cases, although this is very much not the character in my book, there'd be men who sit at home with a collection of shoes and find that every bit as satisfying as sitting there with a woman.
Now, as your character points out, foot fetishism is the fetish that people laugh at. It doesn't have the danger and the sense of consequence of, say, sadomasochism or a compulsive attraction to animals.
Yeah, I mean, I'm, for my sins, I guess, a comic writer, or at least a writer who uses comedy. And but it's always slightly dark comedy. It's always comedy with a bit of edge. And I think I probably always write about people who are obsessives in some way. And obviously sex is an area where there's a lot of scope for obsession. And yes, I mean, I could have written about someone who was into pain or into animals or whatever. But I just kind of feel that there's a major kind of problem in that it's very hard to make someone like that sympathetic. I mean, I think you however kind of liberal you are, you probably think there's something, you know, a bit wrong there, something going wrong psychologically. Whereas my hero in Footsucker, it was very important to me that he was an ordinary guy, a very ordinary guy who lived a kind of ordinary life, who was, you know, just like us, and had this sexual peculiarity that in fact didn't bother him, that enabled him to lead a more or less normal life, that it was a kind of, it informed his life, but it didn't twist his life, it didn't knock it out of shape.
One of the things I really like about your style of writing in this novel is that the character is involved with something that's basically very irrational, an obsessive dedication to women's feet. But he uses a very rational, logical way of always trying to explain what his obsession is about and trying to logically and rationally categorize and differentiate between the different kinds of feet. And that gap between the irrationality of his obsession and the logic in which he tries to explain it is really very funny.
I guess. I mean, I had never thought of it in precisely that way. I mean, he is aware that there's something irrational in his obsession. I mean, he is kind of simultaneously inside and outside the obsession. He is able to look at it. And he is aware that some people would find this a bit odd. But I think that business of classification and, as you say, listing the qualities and the kind of rational dissection of the obsession, that seems to be something that's quite familiar in obsessive characters. I mean, what we in England call train spotters. I mean, people who want to list and classify. That whole business of people who collect, who divide the world up into types and into forms. That seems to me. It seemed to me right. That seemed to be the kind of thing he would be doing. As an actual technique, I never sat down and thought, yes, he must be rational in order to explain his irrationality. But, yeah, I mean, it's obviously true.
So did you do research for the book where you tracked down fetishists and talked with them and read fetish magazines and so on?
Well, yeah, I mean, at the boring end, you know, I went along to the library and read Kraft Ebbing and that kind of stuff. You don't have to go very far at all before you find a woman who's encountered a reasonably extreme kind of foot fetishism. My wife, in fact, was she was in Shepherd's Bush coming home from work one day, and she had an experience very much like the opening of the book. That's where that's stolen from. She was stopped by an innocuous, pleasant young man in a suit with a clipboard who said that he wanted to ask her a few questions about shoes and foot. Foot matters, claiming that he was from, a health and safety company, doing some kind of market research. And by the end of the interview, he was kind of scrabbling on the ground, trying to grab her shoes and sniff them. I mean, he was turned on by the smell, I think, rather than by the look. But I've spoken to women who've had their shoes stolen on the bus, of men who tried to not to rape them, but to sort of drag them into cars and steal their high heels. Our hero here is completely unthreatening and undangerous in that way. I've met quite a few women who've had some sort of, you know, slightly violent encounters with shoe and foot fetishism as its center.
Let me tell you what I think might have been an encounter I had with a foot fetishist. I got a phone call from somebody who said he was making an independent movie and that he'd seen a publicity photo of me and he really liked the shoes I was wearing. They were like little lace-up boots.
Wow.
And that they really needed these particular shoes for their actress who was playing the leading role in the movie, and no other shoes would do. These shoes were just so cool. And I thought, this is really strange, and obviously did not send them my boots.
Well, I mean, one of the strange things about shoes and boots is that although on the one hand they keep their shape even when they're not being worn, they also, even when they're not being worn, they still contain sort of the design of your foot. I mean, the sweat and the way that the foot becomes slightly, the way the shoe becomes slightly moulded to the sense of the to the shape of the foot. I think you should be proud.
I think I should be proud. Okay. What does your wife think about this new book and about your interest in feet?
Well, I mean, it's a very strange one because I would say that when I was writing this book, I thought, you know, men are going to get it and women aren't. And I think that virtually exactly the opposite has happened. I mean, my wife is perfectly comfortable about it. I mean, she knows that I'm a sicko, and that goes with being married to a writer anyway. But, you know, a lot of men have said to me, I just don't get this foot shoe thing. But it's my experience that all women do. And somehow women, maybe women are used to being fetishized. They're used to men who are obsessive in some way or another, whereas a lot of men are still in denial about it. They're trying to say, oh, you know, I don't know anything about that dreadful fetishistic business.
You have written a lot about people who are obsessive. I mean, your new novel is somebody who's an obsessive foot fetishist. You have an earlier novel about somebody who's obsessive about Volkswagens. Another novel that's somebody who is writing about people who are obsessive collectors.
Yeah.
What's your interest in obsession as a writer?
I suppose there's a slight feeling of there, but for the grace of God go I. I suppose I do understand train spotters. I do understand the need to be inclusive, to gather to you things that for security, that this desire to be in control of the world. And I think in the end I just draw back. I say, hold on, it's madness. There is no reason to have 97 different kinds of salt shaker. There's no reason to fill your scrapbook with thousands of pictures of women's feet. But it's... I'm enough of a collector, enough of an obsessive, to see why people do it. I mean, I guess my real obsession is with writing, and it seems to me, in a sense, that that's doing the same. I mean, that if collectors are trying to establish control over a world, you know, to make the world in their own image, to kind of make their own sets of rules. Well, that's very, very much what one does as a novelist.
Do you collect things?
I amass things. I mean, I mean, like everyone else, I have records and books and stuff. The only thing that I save, and it started as a joke, and it's now become, I suppose, rather a bad joke, is model Volkswagens. When I wrote my first novel, which was called Street Sleeper, which is about Volkswagens. I bought a couple of Volkswagens for myself, little toy, dinky toys. And then somebody else, you know, went on a holiday and bought me two or three more. And, you know, it's now into the hundreds. And I'm still saying, no, I'm not a collector.
You have hundreds of Volkswagen cars?
Toys, not the real thing.
Oh, toy models of cars.
Models of cars, yeah, dinky toys.
Otherwise, we wouldn't need a parking lot at this point.
Right, no, dinky toys is obviously an English reference, sorry.
Oh.
But I don't collect women's shoes.
My guest is Jeff Nicholson, author of the new novel Foot Sucker. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Jeff Nicholson, his new novel Foot Sucker is written in the form of the confessions of a foot fetishist. You once said this: I think when people are alone in their room with the curtains closed, they do amazingly interesting things. And you said, but your editor said, no, when people are alone in their room, what they do is they turn on the TV.
Yeah.
But is this what interests you about people, what they do when they're alone in their own room with the shades down and the door closed?
Yeah. I mean, I think it probably It may come from being an only child, which is what I am, and I certainly always like talking to people on a kind of one-to-one basis rather than being in groups, whereas obviously an awful lot of the history of literature is about how people react in social situations. I think I'm always more interested in people once they get outside of social situations. I think my editor in that little quote probably he would say in answer to my objections that people may not be most themselves when they're alone, that in fact, you know, it's when they exist as social creatures that they actually become mostly themselves. But I'm very interested in what people are like when they stop putting on an act, and I tend to believe that particularly in the area of sexuality, once you're alone and alone, you know, in your own head with your own thoughts and fantasies, that is absolutely what you are.
I think your writing is pretty funny. You have you say this about comics in one of your earlier novels. You write, "I've always admired stand-up comedians. The work they do is brave, lonely, difficult, and absurd. I don't think there's anything absurd about entertaining people and trying to make them laugh, but there is something absurd about only trying to make people laugh." Do you believe that about comedy?
I suppose I do. I've known a number of stand-up comedians in my time, not very famous ones, but moderately successful ones, guys who could get up and work a room. And all that stuff is true about how difficult and lonely and brave it is. And a bit of me sometimes thinks, maybe I could do that because, you know, I do readings and I can entertain a room full of people, by reading from my book. And I've talked to comedians and said, well, what's it about? And they say, if you don't have to do it, you won't do it, because if it's not a need, you're never going to get up there and do it. It's psychologically in the genes. In my time, I've written for TV comedy shows. And getting up in the morning and saying, well, I have to write 5 jokes by 4 o'clock today, I mean, it's the hardest thing there is. It's at least as hard as writing 2 pages of serious dialogue. And I always felt at the end of the day, it wasn't actually that satisfying. I mean, I suppose there's a bit of, literary snobbery or something in that.
It seems to me in some way you're writing about the more absurd parts of the human condition by looking at how people relate to their own obsessions and to pop culture. And that's where your humor comes in.
I guess that's so. I mean, for obvious reasons, I try not to to define it, because I think the moment I started knowing what I was doing, I'd probably stop being able to do it. I've never consciously, certainly not since probably my first or second book, I've never consciously thought I could do with a joke here. I mean, some people have certainly said Footsucker is not nearly as funny a book as some of my earlier things. I kind of think, well, that's fine too. I never really set out to write a rip-roaring comedy. I just set out to write the books that I could. And I don't want to be that kind of clown who wants to play Hamlet or wants to write Hamlet. But me, right from the beginning, I've written what I've written. And it's good if you find it funny, but it still works if you don't, I think. I mean, there's a sufficient element of seriousness about the stories and about the characters that it still works even if you don't find it hilarious.
What do you think people will think of you as the author of Footsucker, that assumptions then will make about who you are and what your personal life is like?
Well, obviously, if I cared too passionately about that, I guess I'd never written the book in the first place. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you write books about murderers and thieves. I don't think I've ever written about a rapist. But nobody comes up to you the next day and says, hey, are you a murderer? Are you a thief? Are you a rapist? But, you know, write a book about foot and shoe fetishism, and it's everybody's first question. As I said at the beginning, I'm a partialist, not a fetishist, but I don't know. I mean, I suspect I'm a terrible disappointment to people, and I suspect that most authors are. I mean, that, you know, one's energy and one's weirdness and one's sexiness gets directed into the novel, and the poor miserable person who's left behind is a pale shadow of the art. And I mean, I think that's the way it ought to be.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Okay, thank you very much.
Jeff Nicholson's new novel is called Footsucker. I'm Terry Gross.